Our scripture this morning is from the book of Luke, chapters 15, verses 11 to 14, and 18 to 24. You can find that in your pew Bible on page 1035. When Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. 'I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is now alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate."
How come we always have ties on Father's Day? I mean, is that like a thing that people really do now? Do you give ties to your dad on Father's Day? I remember giving one to mine. Yeah? Who else? Tie on Father's Day? Many of us did, right? We've even given ties out to the men of our church before. You might not remember that. You might. It's only a couple years ago, though, right? I don't know why, though, because there's only one person here who ever wears a tie to church right there. Actually, we got two. Ken's got one on, too. Mr. Rash and Ken Sarkisian. I don't know, though, that dads wear a lot of ties these days. Marquise wears scrubs to work, and a whole lot of workplaces are California casual now. I don't know how many men actually wear ties to work. Well, tell you the truth, now I do know because I asked Google. And she told me that as of a poll in 2008, only 6% of men wear them to work. So obviously even less than that wear them to church. Probably even less than the national average here in California, since we're the state that pioneered the Hawaiian shirts and khakis as church wear. But despite all of this, I still think about ties as a Father's Day gift. Maybe it is the memories that I had of giving my dad a tie. I was always looking for one that was kind of cool or kind of silly, something with Mickey Mouse on it or something fun like that. And likely, my dad, though he never showed it, was probably cringing every year to find out what we kids would come up with. But while I was working on the sermon, I don't know why this, I couldn't shake this question of, why do we give dads ties? I mean, we give moms flowers and take them out to eat, but dad gets a tie. So ties are associated with work, right? A tie is a symbol of a career. And unfortunately, still to this day, dads are seen as the workers, the breadwinners. Their jobs are to make money and take care of the household. See, that's the setup, Marty. Now I'm going to give you the opposite of that. But that's because of the role that they played for centuries, even millennia. So it's not surprising that in a patriarchal society, a man would be the head of the household, that the father would work outside the home while the mother worked in it. But somehow, the task of the job for each also began to define the nature of each. So men became workers while women were nurturers. But of course, we know better. We know that both genders are and were always working, just like we know that both genders are and probably were always nurturing. but our gender stereotypes betray this knowledge. And it seems to me that giving a tie on Father's Day unwittingly perpetuates the stereotype of an absent working father instead of emphasizing dad's nurturing nature. It's like we give mom breakfast in bed and flowers because we know she's tired and deserves something pretty, but we just give dad another tie so he can get back to work. Come on, buy us the stuff we don't need, right? That's not fair. So it's probably a good thing that ties are falling out of fashion. Maybe our gift selection should change too, along with our mindsets. Because on days like today, what we should really do is emphasize the nurturing nature of men. After all, that's what Jesus did. Did you ever notice this? Jesus wasn't all that concerned with hard work. You think about it? I don't think that he didn't value it or that he undervalued it, but he did not define people by their work. I know that's hard for some of us. Remember how it made everybody so mad, and it still rubs us the wrong way when he told the parable of the laborers, and everybody gets paid the same amount regardless of how much they worked? Or the time in Luke where he told the rich man that it'd be harder for him to enter the kingdom of God than it would to go through the eye of a needle? Or that famous parable of parables we read this morning, the one we call the prodigal son, or we blame it all on that poor kid, where Jesus essentially equates God with the father who willingly gives away his property to his son. And when it's all squandered away, he rushes to welcome him home with a ring and a robe. See, Jesus makes it clear to us that life is not all about working hard to prove loyalty or to reap rewards. It's about relationship. And Jesus teaches us what a relationship with God looks like. He says it's like that of a father. But it's not an absent father, or a father whose sole purpose in life is to work hard and bring home the bacon. It's a daddy. It's a father who rushes to his knees, pulls off his own ring, his sandals, his robe, and just gives them to his child. This story is so very different from the one that we were told for centuries on end, the one that we sometimes still tell today, where the role of father wasn't to be cuddly and soft, giving, forgiving. It was to be the head of the household, the master of his own kingdom. Showing too much affection was a sign of weakness. We see this in our own recent experiences, but it's all the way back to antiquity. Men, of course, were supposed to marry and father children to keep the lineage alive. Children were to respect their fathers, to follow in their footsteps, to play their roles to further the family line. Now the sons, they would carry on the line. The greatest responsibility fell on the eldest son, who would inherit his father's wealth, while the daughters would basically get sold off, use better language, I suppose, as they married into another line to better the family line. Our biblical story even begins this way. Adam, of course, had three sons. The first two fought. Cain killed Abel. Abel was banished to another land, so the lineage fell on Seth. But we never really get to see a whole lot of empathy from Adam. Imagine how he must have felt, broken, as his children fought and then were sent away. We turn the pages of Genesis, where we meet up with the most famous of all fathers, Father Abraham. He waited his entire life to have a son. He finally gives up on his wife because, I mean, she's 99 years old. Is she really going to bear him a child? So out of wedlock, he has a child with his slave Hagar and has his first son, Ishmael. Well, God finally makes good on the promise to his wife, Sarah, so she bears a son named Isaac. But when Isaac's playing with his half-brother, Ishmael, Sarah gets angry and orders Abraham to get rid of them. Dear old dad actually listens to his wife, leaves his son for nearly dead with his mother in the wilderness. And it's not long after that we know that famous story where God asks Abraham to take his now only son up a mountain and sacrifice him as though he were an animal, to show his allegiance to God. Faithful Abraham is willing to do it. Now, his actions might demonstrate his loyalty to God, but they don't make him a very good father. Isaac doesn't fare all that much better, though, because when he becomes a dad, he can't even tell the difference between his two kids, even though one's red and hairy and the other one isn't. Jacob manages to trick him into giving a blessing. He cheats Esau out of his rightful inheritance. And then when Dad figures it all out, he doesn't undo it. He goes, oh, well, that happened. These guys are not very good fathers. But we don't really criticize them for that. We lift them up. Abraham is the father of all fathers, not only of our Christian tradition, but of course of the Jewish and Islamic religions as well. He was the model of what a person of faith should be, loyal, obedient, and trusting. I think he probably felt the weight of holding that knife over his son, but he did it anyways. He followed orders, and he was rewarded for it. No wonder, if these are the men that we have upheld for centuries, thousands of years, no wonder there's a strain between father and child. No wonder poor men have to uphold this impossible reputation. It all started with this mess that made concrete this father who follows orders, who restrains emotion, who cares about wealth and lineage instead of relationship. But then, thank God, Jesus comes along and tells us that a father doesn't have to look like that to be the hero of a story. And that not only do men not have to play those roles anymore, but God doesn't either. Because as Jesus says, God is Abba. God is that father who comes rushing out to humble himself before us. God would rather look the part of a fool then miss an opportunity to demonstrate unconditional love. I've said it before, but it bears repeating again and again and again. What Jesus does in calling God Father is radical. And it's not because he wants us to see God as a man for forever after. It doesn't make us glued to that notion of father, but what he does is demonstrate God as a parent who doesn't do what fathers typically did. So if you had a father that only cared about wealth and carrying on the lineage, that's not who God is. God isn't absent. It's not a father who is so concerned with social status and getting ahead, following orders, but instead, one who is committed to love, generosity, humility, steadfast presence. It is so countercultural. Then, and even today, both because of the way men are viewed, and of course, because of the way God is viewed. So truly, Jesus is the Savior. He liberates us from the chains of our past, unshackling God from the box that seeks to confine, untying, liberating men from being typecast as distant, uncaring, and solely focused on money. So it's time to retire the ties. Get rid of that screen. You guys don't wear them anyways, except for Wayne and Ken. Good job, Ken. But instead, we need to redefine Father's Day to not uplift the characteristics of the hardworking dad, but also, and maybe more importantly, the tenderness of fatherhood, the snuggles, and the cuddles, the constant present, that steadfast love. We know that we don't always get it, and that can be heartbreaking. These familial relationships define our lives, and when they aren't healthy or non-existent or broken, it affects us. When our dads leave or die or just aren't present, it will take a toll on our lives. There are dads who left, who live with the guilt of something they think that they cannot undo. And they might be right, because the scars are deep. And perhaps that's why each of us are reminded that we have a role to play in one another's lives. And even though we can't undo the pain, we can be there for each other. We can step up and stand in. We can be voices of dissent when others try to tear families apart. So on a day like today, when we celebrate family, we cannot not think about those children who have been torn from their families, who so desperately need their own parents, or at a minimum, step-in parents to love them and care for them and be the earthly representation of our Abba God, to comfort them in their fear and protect them from danger and isolation. On this day, we do celebrate, and we must celebrate, brave men who do just that, who choose love over reputation, over social status and wealth, men who are tender and gentle, who drop to their knees and cover their children with kisses, no matter how old and ornery they get. Daddies who are silly and sweet, who are humble and hardworking, who protect, shield, and cherish. We need to ensure that we allow men to share these characteristics, that we encourage them to be soft and loving and not uphold and perpetuate a stereotype of men as emotionless, as workers who are saddled with bringing home the bacon and nothing more. We will raise good fathers if we raise sweet, strong, gentle boys. In homes where there are not fathers, and even sometimes when there are, we need to encourage men to step in, to join official programs like Big Brothers and Big Sisters of America, and to unofficially be present to support kids. We know that fathers who are absent from their own children's lives often are because their own fathers were absent. So being role models for children today will undoubtedly ensure the next generation's fathers stick around and give their children the love that they may not have received from their own fathers, but did from the step-in dads and big brothers of today. Look, life isn't perfect. Men aren't either. Probably none of our fathers were. But Jesus reminds us that God is. So when we find ourselves hurting on days like today, we think of our Abba God, who wants nothing more than to run and embrace us and cover us with kisses. And we know that we are not alone. Fortunately, we see our Abba God reflected in men all around us. And we encourage you to claim that role. And we share our gratitude when you do. So to all the men of our church, your big hearts do not go unnoticed. Your kindness and your gentleness, your laughter and your smiles. You make a difference in our lives, and we celebrate you. May God continue to be reflected in all of you wonderful men among us, the men of our world, and in each of us this day and always. Amen.